Holder Tonight continues with more interviews and great conversation to get you through the night on News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto and CJAD 800 in Montreal. Here's Peter Anthony Holder.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on CJAD and CFRB. Still to come on the program, we're going to have with for you another double-heaping helping of stuff from the CJAD CFRB stuff file. That's what I was trying to say. There you go. But right now, joining us on the line is Galen Whitley Keith. She is the author of The Father of Hollywood, The True Story. We often talk about Hollywood and all that it stands for and what it is and the trappings of being in Hollywood, but it wasn't always there. And we'll go back to the beginning and talk a little about this with Galen. Hi, Galen. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi. It's great to be here.
You are the author of the book, The Father of Hollywood, The True Story. And this is not just somebody who decided, I'm going to write a book about the history of Hollywood. This is actually your family history, isn't it?
That's correct. The founder of Hollywood was my great-grandfather, H.J. Whitley. And it's fairly interesting that I'm talking to you since he was born in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
So he has a connection to Canada as well.
Now, I remember reading some stories about early Hollywood. First of all, the movie business first started in New York, and it ended up going out west because basically they needed open spaces and sunlight.
That's correct.
So why where Hollywood is today, and what is your great-grandfather's connection? How did that all start?
Well, my grandfather arrived in California in the late 1800s.
From where?
From, well, actually Michigan, but he kind of worked his way across the country. He did the Oklahoma Run.
Mm-hmm.
He started 140 towns along the railway. He worked for the railway lines, and he came to California and purchased, his beginning property in Hollywood was 500 acres. And it was right in the heart of Hollywood. It would be like Highland Avenue and Hollywood Boulevard, right where the Kodak Theater is for the Academy Awards.
Right.
And there he built the Hollywood Hotel and a bank. And what he did, the reason why, he's buried in Hollywood at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and on his gravestone it has the Father of Hollywood.
Hmm.
So it's not a name that just my family has come up with, and it was printed in the Los Angeles Times, Architectural Digest. And why he's known as that is, oh, he was a developer. He collected movie directors and producers. He sold them property, and that's why they settled in Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Because he was a businessman. He was a developer, not actually in the movie industry, but he realized to make a town grow, you needed some sort of business. So that is what he did. The first movie ever filmed in Hollywood was filmed on his property, and it was filmed by Al Christie, who later became Universal Studios.
Hmm.
So that's how he got his title. He's actually really an amazing man.
So let me ask this, because I mentioned earlier that the movie industry, for all intents and purposes at the time, before Hollywood, was back east. Was it, chicken or egg question here, was it Hollywood or the movie industry wanted to come out west, or did people like your great-grandfather lure the movies out west?
Well, the movies actually came out west, like you said, initially because the weather was so fantastic in California. Long ago, they didn't have movie studios. They didn't actually need them because they were silent movies. So it didn't matter what was going on around. The director would get out on the set and say, look scared, look whatever. They didn't even have to learn lines or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the sunshine was the most important thing, having good weather year-round. In fact, actors would get up in the morning if it looked like bad weather, they'd go back to bed because filming wouldn't happen. So the movie studios actually weren't built till the talkies came around.
Okay. So your great-grandfather was aware of the fact that I keep saying Hollywood because I'm the industry. The movie industry was coming out west. And he decided that, very astutely, I guess, as you just said, to get the producers to buy land.
That's correct. Actually, area he developed is on the hill in Hollywood, and it's actually in a historic preservation zone currently. It's on the historic registry.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably 150 homes that are still left, one of them being his. Charlie Chaplin lived there. Gene Harlow lived there. The list goes on and on of famous people. Currently, the Coppolas have a house there. So, but what happened is with time, obviously things moved out to other areas, Beverly Hills and things. But at the time, if you would take the beginning Hollywood tour of the movie's homes, they would be where he built.
Growing up as a kid, how much of the history of your great-grandfather were you aware of, that this was that the roots of Hollywood was actually the roots of your family, per se, or was it, you know, just the story of great-grandpa as far as you're concerned?
Oh, it was probably just the story of great-grandpa. My mother forever said, someone in our family needs to write the book. Actually, my great-grandmother had many journals, diaries, and she had started to write the history herself. So it was recorded but never really put together. And so with my mother kept telling me, and as a kid you just go, all right, Mom, whatever. But as I got older, I started reading it and went, oh, this is phenomenal history that shouldn't be lost. It's kind of a history of women. It was written from my great-grandmother's perspective, so it deals with being a suffragette, getting the women's vote, just the change in society.
Mm-hmm.
From the norms, because they were more in the Victorian era, and obviously Hollywood was a whole different...
Well, Sodom and Gomorrah is what that is.
Right. It was a whole different animal. And so my great-grandfather was 20 years older than my great-grandmother, and so he was more conservative, and she was more on the age of the women changing, so it was kind of a dynamic in their household as well.
We're talking with Galen Whitley Keith here on CJD. She is the author of The Father of Hollywood, The True Story. By the way, you can go to the website, thefatherofhollywood.com. You could also go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com, and click on the What's On page. You'll find links to Galen's website and also links directly to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order the book. We'll take a quick break and we'll continue talking with Galen here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800, and News Talk 1010, CFRB, Toronto.
Canada's favorite overnight talk show continues with Peter Anthony Holder on CJAD 800 in Montreal and News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto.
And we are talking with Galen Whitley Keith, the author of The Father of Hollywood, The True Story. Again, the website you can go to is thefatherofhollywood.com. If your great-grandfather were around today, what would he think of the Hollywood that he left behind?
Well, he was always concerned kind of about the moral issue of Hollywood, so he probably would be a little startled. What he thought was morally going down the wrong path, we wouldn't even probably consider anything at this point. But I think he would also be amazed, for example, the Hollywood Hotel he built for the silent movie stars, what they did to kind of reserve the seats for the actors was to paint a star on the ceiling. And I don't know how much you know about Hollywood, but currently there's stars on the sidewalk.
Right.
And what happened is when they tore down the Hollywood Hotel to save kind of that thought, they ended up taking the stars and putting them in the sidewalk. So he was kind of the originator of the star. The Hollywood sign, which is, you know, the big famous Hollywood sign.
Which is actually shorter than it originally was. Wasn't it Hollywood Land originally?
Originally Hollywood Land. He actually originally had the very first lit sign, which actually said Whitley Heights. And one of his business partners that helped develop the San Fernando Valley with him was trying to figure out how to get his portion of Hollywood that was in a different section to sell. And he said, well, you should just put a sign up like I have with lights. And that's why I said Hollywood Land. It was just to sell land. And eventually, we all know it became the Hollywood sign.
Where does the name Hollywood itself come from?
Well, that's kind of an amazing story, too. My great-grandparents were on their honeymoon, and they had ridden out on horseback. He was going to show her some property that he had previously looked at, and was thinking of developing. So they rode up on a hill, and they were standing. They'd gotten off their horses, and they were standing looking out over the valley when, lo and behold, down the road in a wagon came a Chinese gentleman. And he got to where they were standing, and he pulled the reins of his cart and got off. And he bowed to my grandfather and said hello. And then my grandfather said, what are you doing? And I don't necessarily have a good Chinese accent, but his reply was, up early, all day, Hollywood.
Hollywood?
Just Hollywood, because he didn't really speak good English. And Hollywood, and then suddenly my grandfather went, Hollywood. And my grandfather was, his family was originally from England and Scotland, and so he went, one would represent England and one would represent Scotland, Holly and the Wood. And that's how the name occurred, which is kind of amazing. So you would never guess that.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how epiphanies, you have them. You just have the little light go off and go, oh, that's the name.
Now, you were mentioning the fact that all through the history of your family, people were saying this book has to be written, more so your mother. You decided to do it. When did you start, and what made you do it now?
Well, I actually started about 30 years ago. That'll sound odd, but I started, and I found it was too difficult because I have boxes and boxes of paperwork. There's actually some in the UCLA library that's been held there. And that was kind of before computers and cutting and pasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found it too difficult. So I had children that went along, and about 8 years ago, I thought, oh, I'll try again. And it just worked so much better because she had written several, say, chapter ones. And so,
you mean your great-grandmother?
Yeah. And so it was all sorted in a box, and so it was a matter of taking it out and piecing it together. So it's kind of like doing a puzzle. And so it's really her story. Originally, I started, like she said, that Teddy Roosevelt was at my great-grandfather's bank on the 4th of July speaking. And I at first was checking her out, and then I realized she knows it. She was there. So I kind of stopped doing that. So they were friends. My great-grandfather spoke in Congress. He did quite a bit. In California, he brought, which is more California history, but he brought cotton from Egypt. And so that there's a big cotton industry in California that occurred because of that. So he just did all kinds of things.
In doing the research to write the book, what was for you the biggest revelation or biggest surprise?
Well, I think actually just all the, if you know the area and all the things he did and how much he impacted the world, and that he probably is not that well known. His personality, he worked 6 days a week, like 12-hour days every day of his whole life. He was just kind of a workaholic, but he wasn't someone who wanted to claim notoriety. They asked him to run for governor of Oklahoma, and he declined. So he really was a private man. But he also had the work ethic, and he never forgot a friend. So that's how he got so much done. He knew how to motivate people. He would suggest ideas. And then somehow it was their idea, although really he came up with it.
Since he was such a private man, do you think he'd be pleased with the book or embarrassed by the fact that you did it?
He would probably be pleased that he's getting notoriety, in a sense, but he'd also probably be embarrassed that the family secrets are out. Because we did have a little, we had divorce and different things happened to his children. So he probably wouldn't be happy that that was out. But at this point, they're not alive either. So it's not tarnishing anybody's, life. But life happens.
Any members of the family work within the Hollywood community, either behind the scenes or otherwise?
No, they didn't. No one took up acting or anything like that. My grandfather owned a country club, so he kind of moved into a different. He liked golf.
Mm.
Different aspect. So they did that, but they did know all the stars. They went to the first Academy Awards. long ago you could just buy a ticket and it was a banquet dinner. So not as renowned as it is to get into today.
How long did your great-grandfather live? When did he pass away?
He lived till 1931. However, my great-grandmother lived till 1951. So the family history, like my father's still alive, so he knew my great-grandmother, and so he was able to contribute to the story as well.
So it must have been quite, considering how far back we're going to the early 1900s, to live into the 30s, Hollywood was a well-oiled machine by that point. It must have impressed him, what he accomplished in that area.
Right, it did. Well, I don't know if you know the San Fernando Valley, but it was 48,000 acres he developed. So he did an immense thing. He changed architecture style in Hollywood. Before there was a Victorian style, he brought the Mediterranean look on the hillside, so all his homes had a view of the Pacific Ocean. He was very modern because at the time he developed, it was horse and buggy switching to cars, so he put in the red car, which was mass transit, which they actually took out, which now they're putting back in. So he was before his time. the world somehow doesn't always know what they should do. So he put in the red car, and they took it out, and now they put in the subway. So, and my great-grandparents also planted a lot of trees and were environmentalists before the time. So he had all the right aspects, and then things have changed, and now it seems they're circling back to that type of thing.
The book is called The Father of Hollywood, The True Story. It's written by Galen Whitley Keith, and you can go to the website, which is www.thefatherofhollywood.com. That's www.thefatherofhollywood.com. You could also go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com. Click on the What's On page for tonight's date. You'll find links to Galen's website. You'll also find links to amazon.com and amazon.ca, the pages for the book, The Father of Hollywood, The True Story. So you can order the book directly. I thank you for taking the time to be on the program with us this evening.
Well, I thank you for letting me share, and make a great Christmas gift.
There you go. Yes, anybody interested in Hollywood, people are interested in Hollywood history and real estate.
Real estate and just learning. Like, they had parties where they had 800 guests. It was sort of the time and era that's kind of different than today.
Absolutely.
Lots of wealth.
Yeah. Again, the book, The Father of Hollywood, The True Story, written by Galen Whitley Keith. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800, and News Talk 1010, CFRB, Toronto.